What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 822 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I am your host, Christian Piles, joined today by the same dynamic duo of James Dean Rader and Ben Funky Askren. It's Funky Fresh Week. Everyone is in Wisconsin right now.
Oh yeah, I forgot. We didn't even talk about the big commitment yesterday.
What's that?
Class of 2037, Ozzie Man Strongboy committed to the University of Missouri.
Wow. Now that's a violation. That's not good. He's already going to be in some hot water.
You can recruit 4-year olds, can't you?
I don't know. I mean, I heard through the grapevine there was maybe an exchange of Transformers. That's not permissible. If you're giving them any toys or anything to battle with, that would be an illegal contact. So,
any toys to battle with? I don't think he brought any toys.
Okay.
I think we're good.
This could be clear. Good. Congrats to Ozzie Man Strongboy. He's going to be a Missouri Tiger. Quite a scoop for if Brian Smith coaches Ozzie Man Strongboy, what a story.
He won't, because after we joked, after we took that picture, I joked that's class. I figured it out in my head. It'd be class of 2037, likely. And he's like, dude, if I'm still there by then, put me out the pasture.
I know you say that, but Coach Smith's a hardworking guy. He may be tough to get him out of it. But yeah, that would be a long career. Okay.
Yeah, for real.
We got stuff to get to. We've got the golden ticket tracker that's happening. We're going to do 141 tiers, which I'm very much looking forward to.
I only got like 30 minutes because we have the last session of Funky Fresh Camp coming up. So I got to hit that at 9 o'clock.
Yep. All right. Fine. I guess coaching takes priority. No big deal. Why don't we just jump right into it? 141 tiers. Yeah. Why don't we do it? No vamping.
All right. I looked at it. I thought it was pretty good. There's one right away. You guys can say them, but there's one right away that I would say, let's talk about this.
Let's talk about love. Okay, so we're going to, tier one has two people in it, which is interesting. Real Woods and Cole Matthews. And then there's a big tier two and a bigger tier three. Tier two comprised of Jacob Berglund, All-American CJ Composto, Andrew Alirez, Clay Carlson, Alan Hart, and Casey Swiderski. Ben, who is the name you wanted to talk about?
Swiderski.
Okay.
Because, I mean, isn't it? I'm trying to remember who we were talking about yesterday. But, I mean, he just hasn't proven himself in folk style at a high level against these guys who are really good on top and bottom. And when you look at that list, there's a bunch of guys who are really good on top and bottom. So I think he has the potential to be in tier two or maybe even higher? Yeah, I think that's the case. Do I think I feel comfortable putting him there right now? No, I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a projection by JD, certainly. But I think,
projecting, then that hard.
Well, it's all a conjecture and projection at this point. You know, you're estimating, and I think from a talent perspective, I think he's among peers.
You know, I put him in tier three at first, and then I was looking at 133.
And Dresser called you.
Yeah, Dresser called me up. Metcalf got me on the phone. And I was looking at Mendez and Bouzakis, and I put them in the tier with tier two with other guys. And I was like, so why would I not put Swiderski in tier two?
Well, perhaps I don't think Jesse Mendez or Nick Bouzakis maybe are tier two either.
That could be fair.
TBD.
That is TDD, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, it is tough because obviously for as far as the senior level competition goes, like, you know, Mendez about in the streets and he's got some pretty damn good wins. But again, I brought this up, it's still not folk style. And we have seen a handful of prospects who, I mean, Anthony Valencia would be number one, right? He was freaking fire his senior year of high school in freestyle. I think he beat a couple NCAA champions and he turns around and he just never was that guy in folk style ever.
Well, he was never that guy in freestyle really either after that.
I mean, his freestyle results, even They never, okay, so he was like here, right, in high school, and you expect most guys to just keep going like this. But his freestyle results were kind of always better than his folk style results, just kind of
Yes.
across the board. He would, you know, take like round of 12 at NCAAs and then go take third or fourth at the US Open in
That's true.
freestyle. Yeah.
Yeah, 100% true. I mean, he teched Imar twice. He beat
Yeah.
he teched Tyler Caldwell. He had some other
Yes.
gr he beat
I
other.
mean, look at right below Swiderski, Carter Young.
Yeah.
The Exhibit
I
A
mean,
right
Carter
there.
Young is the
Yeah,
most
another one.
recent example of, I mean, Seth Gross, Neshawn Garrett, Tyler Graff, he beat them all.
In one tournament.
One
The
tournament.
difference was, though, that that was like an outlier performance for Carter Young. Valencia had done this, like, he had shown that he was very good at freestyle. Carter Young was not that dude before 2021. World Team Trials, that was
Yeah.
2021.
No, I mean, he was good at freestyle, but not. That was just shocking when
Yes.
that happened. That was totally out of
And it proved
nowhere.
to be an outlier performance since.
Yes. Which is also a separate kind of thing. Like, how often does that happen? An outlier performance where
That
you beat three
was
NCAA
weird, huh?
champs? Like, what kind
Okay,
of.
and
I mean,
then,
that's just like in a class all its own.
yeah, because he did, I mean, he wrestled at the junior trials and he was like good, but not great.
He did not make the
Vince
team.
Cornella beat him for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
so
so, and
that's
then,
weird.
you know, you can factor in the backside stuff or the weigh-in or whatever, but still, there's no, I can't think of an example of this happening, with someone that kind of a run, and then, you know, the folk style just sort of didn't add up yet. Now, he was a true freshman, and you just look at
And he
Carter.
might have been in the wrong weight class also.
That is a definite theory. He, I mean, you look at him, he still looks like a boy, right? He doesn't look like
Yes.
he's like a full grown man at
Well,
this
go
point,
man, I'm 40.
which he ain't. He ain't yet. But he's a beast for sure. So yeah, this is, man, this weight is so nuts to me.
Yeah, because I got Real Woods rest of stat pulled up. He lost his last three matches at NCAAs, the three guys being Nick Lee, Sebastian Rivera, and then Cole Matthews. But then Cole Matthews, he obviously has had some really good wins and he had a good NCAA performance, but
The lines here in this weight for the tiers are very blurry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
Yeah, it's very blurry.
could a
It's
Berglund beat Cole Matthews from Real Woods?
yeah,
Yeah, I think it
seemingly.
could.
Yeah.
But it's also
So
like,
Cole Matthews lost to D'Amelio. He lost to Composto. I don't know if you guys remember his first round match with Zargo. It was treacherous. And then he lost to Keijon Clark and Grant Willits. So I mean,
who is this?
this is Cole Matthews.
Okay.
Like having him in tier one feels strange to me.
Man.
So it's almost like tier one and two should be put together, but also it's
Yeah.
like should like
I do feel like I know I think you did it right. I think
man.
there's although there's not as much separation here as like a it's not like Carter and Mackay.
It's not a 133 where it's like okay, Dayton and Roman,
Yeah. Well,
and then you got
that's as stark a drop off as you might see in a weight
yeah. I
class.
mean, dude, in tier two, Composto has some really bad losses. I
Oh, he was
mean.
totally out of nowhere to place.
Yeah, and then I totally forgot this match. He got ticked 16-0 by Real Woods. Do you remember that match? I don't remember that one.
No, that's probably not a match anyone's focusing on. That wasn't on anyone's radar that
Yeah.
these are two All-Americans or whatever.
Yeah.
I just remember his epic match with Stevon in the round of 12. Just like back and
Yeah.
forth, crazy, crazy match. But Composto's someone that the while his season it was, you know, it speaks for itself, but the end was fantastic. But this is a guy who was very under the radar coming out of high school, great
Yes.
development already in basically a year. So you can project some more growth for him for sure. So I think he's a good fit at tier two. A guy I
Yeah.
want to talk about right now is someone we
Uh-oh.
often talk about, and
No,
it.
don't do it. Don't
No, I'm
do
not doing
it.
it yet. I'm not there yet.
You're not doing that yet.
It's another guy that we talk about a lot. His name's Boo Alires, and he's someone we're frequently very high
That's
on.
another
He's
one
another
freestyle-wise.
freestyler, and so talking with Troy Nickerson, and this is an interview I did with Coach Nickerson at at the convention, he said that Aliras is like, you know, obviously he's a freestyler. He loves freestyle. It's his favorite and best style. And he took this off season and said, no, I'm not doing any freestyle competition. I'm just solely focused on getting good on the mat, getting better off bottom. He got pinned by Berglund in the round of 12 with legs. He's not a mat wrestler. He's just a takedown guy. So he's definitely taking his results and, you know, making changes.
Who did he beat in freestyle? He beat Nick Lee, didn't he?
Nick Lee teched him.
2020 Summer Nationals.
When he was in high school. What are you in high school?
Well, right? No, it was at it was in Minnesota, I remember. He got the lake. He got the
Wasn't shot Aliras still stand. In high school?
Yeah.
He also won like that first tournament in the Extreme Arena.
Senior Nationals. I thought he I can't remember who he beat exactly. Hey, where's that, what's that site you go to for the USA?
He was actually pretty darn good last year when I'm looking through his.
Oh, yeah. He was not bad.
No, he was very consistent. He actually lost to the same couple guys. He lost to Clay Carlson. He lost to Real Woods.
Evan Henderson.
Clay Carlson. He actually beat Clay Carlson. Then he lost to Composto and Berglund.
He beat McKenna in freestyle.
2020 Senior Nationals. Dude. He beat Evan Henderson, Yaya Thomas, Joey McKenna, Mitch McKee, Josh Heil.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what sometimes these freestyle things, they just. Most of the time, there's a strong correlation. Most of the times, they match up. There's sometimes they just don't match up.
Yeah, yeah. And it's strange with Andrew because he does have a great transition from the lace, but he takes guys down. You know, he gets leg attack takedowns is a big, you know, part of his success. He doesn't have like some freaky chest wrap.
Great lace I think he had great lace transitions in freestyle, which was a big part of it.
Yeah. So, but I say that to say this is a guy who is addressing his weaknesses head on. He's really trying to get better at the areas where he's not been able to score and get to the next level. A guy of his caliber should have been on the podium at this point in his career, in my opinion.
You think? And that would be a good answer for our question yesterday.
Best first time A.
Yeah. And when you want to talk about the highest potential finish for a first time AA, you look at this weight and there's not a guy he can't beat here, right? Now that's
Bo Bartlett.
He might not be able to beat Bo. That's a good point. But other than that, there may be no one else. He's right there.
Did Bo
wrestle
this spring and summer at all or no?
Yeah. Remember he was beating Ian Parker bad, and then he gassed it. Or I don't know if he gassed.
Bo Bartlett?
If I'm remembering correctly, yeah.
Ian Parker gassed Joey McKenna. I remember that one. Where what tournament?
It was World Team Trials Challenge.
In Coralville.
Yeah. 5-5.
Yeah, 5-5. I think he might have been up 4-0 or 5-0. And then same thing happened at Junior Trials. He was up, was it D'Amelio?
Not this year. 2 years ago.
I don't think so. I think he wrestled D'Amelio at Trials.
He lost 8-6. D'Amelio fought him.
Not junior. U23.
Yes, U23s.
Correct. It's not, okay.
They, but they were together.
Got it. Oh, that's place. Why it's confusing.
D'Amelio fought him.
Yes. Carried him, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah, but Bo, so he has been doing a decent amount of freestyle. But now he's coming back down, or coming down. Wrestling 141. Tier 3 is interesting because you've got a lot of talent. You've got Carter Young and Bo, who are very talented. You got Ryan Jack.
Obviously, D'Amelio, who beat Bo.
And then, yes, D'Amelio. Zargo was coming on at the end.
Some good matches.
Yeah.
Bro, how didn't you mention that Bo Bartlett Tech Mac Kolodzic? That would have been a good result for you to bring up, Christian.
I just figured everyone knew that.
That's a good result for him.
Yeah, it is.
I even put in the doc that I could be convinced like tier two is basically just all these dudes. But it's like
so,
tier two. These guys have kind of proven it a little bit more.
Honestly, Swiderski should be in tier three looking at the. Yeah. You know, think about. Hey. Bo, like what just take stuff from the folkstyle mat out of it, out of the equation, or take it, the D1 stuff out of the equation, and you look at someone like Bo or Carter, and basically all the hype and energy that would surround them had they not wrestled folkstyle at this point would be equivalent to like what Swiderski's done. So I think Casey probably fits in tier three. And then I think
Bo had some good results at U23s. Just he beat Clay Carlson. He did lose to Riz Lovett though, and then the D'Amelio loss that you talked about.
Yeah, he's good.
Hey, can I ask a question real quick?
Well, of course, Ben.
So when I think about tiers, here's what I think about. I think about tiers are clear separations between two people, or right. So when I think about them, I think like say Dayton Fixit and Rome Bravo Young, which he says is clear as day. I think about it that if you took someone in this tier and had them wrestle someone in this tier, the guy in the upper tier is going to win, say, 80% of the time. It's not guaranteed because nothing's guaranteed, but like a really, really high percentage of the time that person in the upper tier is going to win that match. Is that how you guys think about it or no? Because when I look this way, I'm like, I don't see it.
I think in general, that's what you would want, a more even distribution. I think what a weight like this presents is not that. There's not a lot of guys that are 80% to beat the guys below in the second tier.
Really not.
I do think, I mean, and honestly, is real, I think real and maybe Cole are two guys that I think they would win reliably against tier two and below.
I disagree on Cole. I mean, is he going to win more than half? I think I'd put my money on, right? If you said, hey, Ben, Cole Matthews is going to wrestle Clay Carlson 10 times, who's going to win more? I'm going to go Cole Matthews, okay? But
80%, no way.
Not 80, it's going to be like 6-4 maybe. It could be 5-5, I don't know. It's close.
Well, I think in an ideal, well, maybe it's not ideal, but it would be a lot easier if there was that separation, but there's a weight like this and it's not there. So then the bar for separation is lowered.
And you can't put Real on tier one island.
Yeah. No way.
You can't because he just lost to Cole Matthews.
So, exactly.
I mean, that's where I would go is like yesterday we winnowed it down to two tiers and I thought that was really fair and correct. So it's like, do you force multiple tiers when they're really not there? You know, it's like, it's not really there. Like, even Real Woods, like, okay, he's the favorite to me against all of these guys in tier two. But, like, if is it a Monday headline if Allen Hart beats Real Woods? I don't think so. Is it a Monday headline if Aliris beats Real Woods? I actually think that's happened, right? Has it happened?
Yeah, I don't think – I'm not sure. I don't think it's happened. But okay. But it would definitely be a Monday headline if CJ Composto did.
That would be. So maybe we bump CJ Composto down, or are we raising him up too high just given on his NCAA tournament, and that's it. And
he even did like what some other guys in this list couldn't, which was placed last year.
Yeah.
It's tough to throw those guys out when they're all none or without blemish, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Composto lost to Kazmir at EIWAs.
I'm looking right now at Berglund's wrestling stat. He was not – he's like, okay, but he's not great. Lose to Clay Carlson, lost to Grant Willits, lost – got major by Clay Carlson, he lost three times to Clay Carlson.
You want to know who I think the class is?
D'Amelio.
Yeah. I think it's Real. I think it's Cole. I think Alirez, Carlson, Hart, Berglund would be like my order. Then Composto.
Tough, dude.
Tough.
Yeah, Alira's lost to Real Woods 5-4 at the scuffle. That was the finals, wasn't it? No.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So I not an easy one by any stretch. Yeah. Alira's has a hard time with Carlson. Those two have had some crazy.
He beat him once.
Hart, Carlson, and Alira's wrestle each other quite a bit and love to beat each other.
They do. Composto's make this list. Composto beat Alirez at NCAAs and tiebreakers, so you have to figure the mat was a factor there. And then Berglund pinned him with legs, old cross body ride.
Yeah, I mean Composto's the one that he lost 10-0 to Berglund. He got Tech Fall by Real Woods. He lost to Kazmir multiple times. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough leaving him in tier two.
Yeah. You can throw him out.
Yeah. Dude, this way this way's a disaster.
It's crazy. It's
so
crazy.
Bad. What in the world?
This podium, man. Predicting it
that
now
was a Wisconsin podium.
Podium. Oh, every now and again there. There's a lot of freshmen coming into this weight that are gonna be that could be interesting. One shout out to Jordan Titus, West Virginia. I'm excited to watch him. He's very tough. And I was also gonna say Lachlan McNeil.
If Bo Bartlett or Dylan D'Amelio beat these guys in tier one, it's really not that surprising.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Whereas, so we've come to the conclusion there are no tiers at this weight.
Yeah, it's tier. It's tierless.
It might be tierless. I mean, can you imagine
the only tiers
Joe
are going to be
Heilman beating Dayton Fix?
No. It's unfathomable.
That's what we should feel like.
That is what I feel like. But you can't. Not every weight has a freaking world silver medalist and Roman Bravo Young in it.
Okay. Can you imagine Joe Heilman beating Michael McGee or Lucas Bird?
No.
I have a hard time with that one.
I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
So here's there's a lot of new names that could have impact. Okay. You've got Swiderski, Crookham, which we think Crookham's going 41.
I think so.
Okay. Ethan Miller from Maryland, Jordan Titus, who I mentioned, Lachlan McNeil, who I'm really excited to watch. He wrestled Sebastian. This is freestyle. He's good at freestyle. He's good at folk style too. But he wrestled Seabass to a 4-2 loss recently. Wyatt Henson will get his crack at 141.
Now WrestleStat has Wyatt Henson at 33.
What?
If
he could go 33, why didn't he go 33 for Iowa? And why did he transfer when Real Woods?
That would be my thought as well, which is why I put him in there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something going on there. I don't know. They have they do have Magical there, and I know they did get Moshe Schwartz coming in, and he's going to go 41.
Who is the new guy that wrestled 41 for them last year? New York kid.
He's skinny kid, right?
Yeah. It starts with McDougald.
McDougald. Willie McDougald.
No, that's 49. I was thinking of McDougald's 49. I was thinking of Jacob Butler. Is that his name at 41?
Maybe so.
I think it is.
Okay, so a lot of new names, and man, if you're a young and also Sammy Alvarez.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What about Sammy Alvarez?
What What's about him? Doing? I mean, listen.
What's he been doing?
Sounds like training wrestling.
Have you seen him in any matches? Did you wrestle any matches last year?
You wrestled a couple.
Yeah, he got too big for.
I'm looking. Sammy wrestled. He did. He wrestled.
He was 8-2.
10 matches.
He got pinned by Anthony Sabotker and pinned by Carter Bailey.
Pinned by Frank Sabotka?
This is about
Frank
Sabotka.
Those are not promising results, boys.
Well, boy, I'm not selling my stock on him. He's showing.
Could you be selling at a significant loss at this point in time?
I'm holding on. He's going up back to a weight. Listen, this guy beat Ridge Lovett at the Big Ten Championships.
Oh, my God, he did.
He did. 9-3, sir.
Wow. Wow.
He wrestled Seth Gross to a 9-6 match.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to Piotrowski. I think he couldn't beat Piotrowski. I think he always lost to him. I'm looking back through his weight. He beat Mickey Phillippe 6-3. He beat Cam Sikora 5-4.
He had some good wins, but I mean, let's look at the most recent
results.
He
outgrew the weight.
I understand. He still got decked by Anthony Sabotker, and who was his other dude he got decked by that I didn't know? Carter Bailey. He actually, it says he's 15, so I'm just going to assume he's actually good, but I don't know Anthony Sabotker.
I don't know him. I haven't he got thrown. I think he got headlocked or whatever, if I'm remembering the one. Not an excuse or anything. I'm just saying I think that's what happened.
I mean, if he really outgrew the weight, why wouldn't he have just wrestled back up at 141 last year?
I don't know. I mean, he outgrew it at I don't know. I mean, you got Sebastian Rivera.
So but he's a backup. He didn't start, or probably redshirted actually, right? Or no?
Who are you talking about right now? Sammy?
I'm talking about Sammy Alvarez.
He didn't redshirt. He was a starter for them for a significant portion of the season, then outgrew the weight. They shut him down after that.
I mean, he didn't make weight after the last match he had was December 29th.
Yeah. I think they just like packed him in after that. It wasn't a great year for him. And he wasn't going to start at 41, so I don't know what happened. But I think if you discount this guy, amongst the names that we're listing right now in these tier 2 and tier 3.
Christian, you have this very logical side of yourself, but then you also have this highly sentimental portion of Christian Piles, where if you saw this dude and they were a freaking beast in high school, you can't let it go. But I saw it!
No, that's not what's happening here. I'm citing Big Ten. I couldn't name a Sammy Alvarez win from high school. I barely follow these guys until they get to the next level.
Do I gotta say it? Joey Silva. He probably ain't even starting because Joey Silva's gonna whoop him up.
That's possible. Now Joey's going 33, or he's got to deal with Heilman. I think.
Oh man.
I don't. I'm citing college results. I haven't.
It was
said
3 years ago now.
Yeah,
he was really good. You're correct. He was really good that year, but we have not seen anything similar in 2 seasons now.
Well, we'll see. I mean, so the things we have to question are why did he lose his motivation to be good at wrestling? Is he not working as hard? That is possible.
Happens to a lot of college kids.
That happens to college kids. Did he simply outgrow the weight and just had discipline issues? That is possible. Not everyone's made to cut a significant amount of weight. He had to go 133 last year. He had to. There was no spot for him at 41. So he made it half the year, did not go well, and then he stopped trying to make it and just focused on next year. So it remains to be seen. I think he's squarely in tier 3 and a guy with tier 2 potential for sure. I mean, if you told me.
Okay. I mean, if I'll put him in tier 3 with these guys, tier 3 is we have 1, 2,
I mean, Wyatt
three,
Henson's
four,
in there.
5, 6, Vince 7, Cornell is 8, in there. 9, 10, 11. We already have 12 in tier 3. Might as well just put anyone who starts in all of America.
No. Look at the results. these are NCAA qualifier caliber guys, but.
Okay. We'll just leave it. It's fine. Yes, these guys are all similar skill levels.
Sammy should be in here for sure. I think there's going to be a lot of names that are not currently ranked that end up climbing high.
Yes.
There's a lot of talented wrestlers here that have not proven maybe relative to their skill level. To use better words for Ben. So he doesn't start twitching because I said the word talent.
You said it so many times today, and I held myself back from commenting.
I know. we won't redo that. Oh, shoot, you got to go soon.
It's 8:45. I got to go teach them the last morning of scrambling. So I'll see you guys next week. We'll do some more Tears for Fears, or what are we doing? We had Junior Worlds. Let's see. That's
like
the end
a
of
week
next
and a
week,
half
right?
or so?
I don't think I'll be here Thursday.
You're going to Junior Worlds? Oh, my gosh. Where is it?
Bulgaria.
Sofia, Bulgaria. When in doubt, you can guess two places for UWW events. If you guess Sofia, Bulgaria or Budapest, Hungary, there's a better than 40% chance that the event is going to be there.
You can toss in Istanbul there, too.
Istanbul. Yep, that's hot in the streets. They love it. Haven't been back to Tashkent yet. I don't know. It might be out. Yeah. Might be out of the rotation.
Uzbekistan. Well, they were bribing referees and whatnot, right?
It was a great tournament.
That was what happened, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So, hey, a quick one today, but we had a good time. It was good.
Oh, you guys are leaving too? I thought I was just leaving.
Yeah, you know, without you, what is the show, Ben?
Right.
No, have a good camp. Maybe we'll talk for a little bit, but no, it's time to go. it's go time. Thanks, Ben. Thanks to you.
Watch who's number one this weekend.
Oh my gosh, I meant to play that thing. Should I pull it back? Should I undo it? You should watch this. We can stop the music. The music's got to stop. I'm unmaking.
I ruined it.
You didn't ruin it. I ruined it with my ever failing memory. So I hope you're still here. If you heard the music and you just reflexively just tuned off, then that was just on me. Hopefully you looked at your thing and said, oh, wow, this went several minutes longer after the music. I should see if he talked about it. If you're one of those people, great. So on Sunday, you know, I don't pump the other sports. This is a wrestling podcast. I get it. So I try not to pump. I pump like the reality show because I thought, hey, maybe they'll be interested in this. This thing Sunday is one of a kind. It is the biggest match in jiu-jitsu history. It is Gordon Ryan versus Felipe Pena. Gordon is like our Sagalayev, but Matt, instead of like the humble, you know, respectful Russian, this is just like the biggest trash talker on Instagram and in real life, like the sport has ever seen. And also he's got the dominance of Sagalayev. Taking on Felipe Pena, who is the guy who has beaten him not once but twice. And Gordon has never defeated him. This is a match no one ever thought was going to happen. It had been written off ever since I've been working with grappling. Everyone said, this match will never happen. Felipe will never take this match. Well, he took the match, and it's on Sunday. And this video is absolutely fire, whether you like jiu-jitsu or not. I hope you'll watch it. I'll leave you with this. It's Sunday. At 7, I want to say. Please watch, and please watch this. We'll leave you with this. Thank you.
On August 7th, the grappling world will stand still. Two of the sport's most bitter rivals will finally settle the score at the biggest Who's Number One event of all time. It wouldn't be historic without the sport's most significant star, Gordon Ryan.
Any of these pussies in the top 5, top 10, whenever any of you want to compete, let me know.
The brash, talented, and confident 27-year-old black belt has single-handedly transformed the sport. With 55 straight victories, an unmatched submission rate, and the title of Who's Number One Heavyweight Champion, Gordon Ryan has earned his nickname, The King.
Oh man, it's a bad day for the haters today.
There is the finish. Gordon Ryan with the submission.
Even Gordon's most vocal detractors have all fallen silent. His greatness has become undeniable. Gordon has continued to pick off submission wins over veterans, contenders, and the new generation of phenoms. His list of challengers have grown quieter and quieter, all reluctant to come for the crown. Until now. Felipe Pena isn't afraid of anyone, especially not a competitor he's already defeated twice. A multiple-time world champion in jiu-jitsu, Pena is on his way to becoming one of the greatest champions Brazil has ever produced. Felipe has not only beaten Gordon, he's the only man to ever submit him in black belt competition. If Gordon has a kryptonite, it might be Felipe Pena. And before the career of this legendary grappler is over, he has his sights set on defeating the King one more time. On August 7th, two fierce adversaries will take to the mat, destined to cross paths once more. One is eager to avenge his past mistakes. The other relishes the opportunity to silence the biggest trash talker in the sport. When the dust settles in Dallas, Texas, one will walk away with victory. The other will suffer a devastating loss. One way or another, someone will tap out. And someone will carry the crown for years to come. This is true submission only. This is the best fighting the best. This is the road to Who's Number One. Gordon Ryan versus Felipe Pena 3.
So that's the what's the industry term, the pre-title for our basically film about this match. So you can watch that for free on YouTube or on the site. We even have a version with Portuguese translation. I know many of you are, speak fluent Portuguese listening to FRL, so you could watch that version. So yeah, just it's called Road to Who's Number One if you want to watch that full video. It's very good. And most of you, I think probably almost all the FRL listeners are subscribers. You are into this, and it's hard to be into wrestling without a subscription. So I say that to say you can watch this for free on Flow Grappling if you're already a subscriber. If not, please, and if this is what gets you over the edge to subscribe to Flow, that would surprise me. But you can watch it for free on Sunday night. It'll be great. I think I watch promos like this and stories telling like that, and I'm like, man, I want this in wrestling so bad. But it's a lot harder to do in wrestling for a variety of reasons. I hope you guys do check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a Who's Number One, biggest Who's Number One. It's our event. We made it, created it.
You can go to Dallas if you want to.
You could go to Dallas.
You won't get in. Tickets are sold out.
It is sold out and was sold out like immediately. There are people, just so you understand, like, there's people hitting us up like, can we sell? Can we mop the mats? People just want to be in the building for this match. It is like, it's the talk of the entire sport. Rogan, I don't know if I should say that. Someone's going to be there. Dang it. Maybe not, though. I don't know. Who's to say? He may not show. He's very busy. People will be there. People will be watching. It's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, Keith, I need this in wrestling, too. I often talk about the differences, and it's frustrating that I work with both sides, and I see, like, just how down the athletes are and how much they get it, and then it's, like, wrestling is just, like, pulling teeth to do cool stuff. But you know what? We're in it for the long haul, so we'll get there. Right, JD?
That's right.
That's JD's job, actually. He's a podcaster, and he's just going to, like, revolutionize the sport so we can have Who's Number One type stuff on wrestling. So far,
heads of NCAA and IOC, better watch out.
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming for you. All right, so that's it. Now we're done. We could play the music twice. So I know it's your favorite music because the show's over. And there it is. And yeah, that was Tim Kennedy narrating. He's a friend of Flow Grappling, which is cool. He's a cool guy. And that's it. That's it for this week. We hope you guys tune in Sunday. We will be back Tuesday. JD will be packing, but he's going to come in between packing sessions.
That's right.
Thanks to Tyler for producing. Thanks to Ben for leaving early, like an absolute fraud. And we did 5 minutes extra, like real tough guys. We love tough podcasting. Don't let anyone tell you any different. See you Tuesday. Thank you. Goodbye.